engage the enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
Well, another good day to everybody out there. This is Smell the Truth Radio, Coach Rob Lotito with you, and of course, our host, Dr. David Berman. Good day, sir. How are you?
Good day. How are you, my friend? It's sunny out, and I'm very happy about that, and I don't want to start every show with talking about my Harley, but I had a great ride yesterday, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's summertime in New England, and when it's summertime in New England, you got to take advantage of it.
Oh, you do. It's the only place I can decompress from the insanity that's going on in our country.
Well, and I hear you on that one, and being on the Harley or being out playing some sports or whatever last night, and I know we're in a recorded show and stuff, this week we have a baseball tournament that I'm involved in as a coach. And that's why people call me the coach.
That's right.
Coaching all the time. And, you know, last night we won an extra inning ball game. So it took my stress of all the issues going on in our government and stuff and in our country, which is absolutely crazy at this point, you know. Today's show, the topic, Pastor, of course, is the establishment of a state church. And we've seemed to cross that line in our country. You can go on to smellthetruth.com, see Pastor's article this month, called exactly that, The Establishment of the State Church, for more information. You know, Pastor, can't we just all get along and be happy and, you know, just get along, you know? Can't it just be simple? You know, why isn't love, aren't you a hate monger because I can't have what I want?
Well,
you know, no throwback song there that reminds me when I was a kid. And I never, when I was a kid, Pastor, I never understood the issues kind of like I do today.
Right.
Turned 49 years old this week as well. And just, I'm shocked what's going on in our country. And I'm a patriot. I'm a born-again Christian, and God has changed my life. And I never understood that song when I was about 10 years old, I guess, when that song came out. You know, and this, why can't we all just get along stuff? The establishment of the state church, what's that about, Pastor?
Well, in my article, The Establishment of a State Church, I'm talking about what is happening with our nation. Because what's happening with our nation is we have a bunch of people who, for the last, you know, 30, 40 years have been, you know, pounding on this separation of church and state, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. You know, anytime you mention God or any of your positions on anything, you say, oh, well, that's your biblical position. You can't mention that. You can't go by that. But what they're doing, the progressives, is exactly the same thing. They've established a state-run church. And what I mean by that is they have certain precepts and certain dogma, certain orthodoxy that you're going to live under whether you like it or not. Now, they may not call it a church, and they may not say there are spiritual ramifications for their decisions, but it's every bit as much as any other religious system where they're going to impose on you their morality. And their morality is that gay marriage is perfectly fine, and you're going to bake that cake. You're going to cater that. You are going to be the one that does whatever they tell you to do under the penalty of law. This really goes back to the idea of some sort of a state-run religion that tells you have to go to church. Now, they're not asking you to go to their progressive church, per se, but they are definitely telling you you're going to toe the line with their progressive ideology, which in reality is no different than any other dogma or orthodoxy.
Now, Pastor, we don't want to rant and rave just on the issue of gay marriage. We want to educate people. This is what Smell the Truth Radio is about and smellthetruth.com is about. We want to educate you out there. So let's start with what is a progressive, and what is the first? What does the First Amendment tell us in the Constitution? So, what is a? Let's talk about what a progressive is, and then go back to the right. Constitutional Amendment.
Well, some time ago, you know, the word Marxist or communist is not something that people like to hear because it has obviously a negative connotation. Because communists, Marxists are despotic pigs. They want to rule you by the power of state. And so the terminology was changed really to progressive. And the progressive idea, the progressive word is a nice little word because what they're saying is if you're not progressive, then you must be regressive. So they use that word. But progressivism is not only Marxist in its viewpoint. It is sort of a neo-Marxism where they've mixed together the ideology of Marxism along with the ideology of hedonism. So you have a mixture of a Marxist philosophy economically and the power of the state, not just to make you obey economically and take away whatever they can from you and your liberties and rights, but also force you to accept hedonistic, immoral behavior as part of their ideology. So they're not... classic Marxist in the sense of there is no God and, you know, we'll have nothing to do with anything like that. They've sort of melded together a paganistic, hedonistic religion with the Marxist economic philosophy. And so they're statists and they'll do whatever they can to force you to accept not only their takeover of the free market and takeover of your individual liberty and property, but also... you will submit to their hedonistic religion or else. That is their viewpoint. Now, people listening might say, Pastor, you're overstating this. I am not overstating this.
Well, it's lore. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It's happening right before our very eyes.
Wake up.
Yeah, wake up. I mean, smell the truth, baby. Let's go.
Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So... you know, we have the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the right of people peacefully assembling and petition the government.
Right.
Right. Regardless of what they want to put forth, they can petition the government. It's our First Amendment right. How did this become equal? Why is this progressiveness? At times they want to tell you, oh, it's our First Amendment right to do this. And then they want to tell people who are against them, you have no right to do that.
Yeah, because they've been very clever in using the Constitution and the courts to their advantage, but then use the courts to their advantage to disenfranchise those of us who do not agree with their progressive hedonistic agenda. And so now they've really become fascist in their methods to force you to not only... tolerate, but to participate in what they're doing. And so there's no question about it. The powers that be, and unfortunately, there are actually a very small amount of people that are doing this to have the power. They've controlled now the media, the news, entertainment. They control government. They control tremendous amounts of money. And they're revolutionizing the country. First, they did it culturally by using a news media entertainment, and now through law, they're revolutionizing the country away from the founding principles of the American Revolution, the war for independence from Britain, and now got us to the place where if you even say the things that I'm saying, you're labeled a hater, a discriminator, they're going to come after you. They're going to besmirch your character, and they're going to use whatever laws they can use and the power of government to shut you up. I believe it's going to get much worse than this, where they're going to be using much more blackmail techniques against you because of all the surveillance that is happening with the NSA and the ability to trump up things against people, to splice things and use all kinds of technology. I believe they're going to be blackmailing people more and more who are willing to speak out against the evils of progressive hedonism.
In your article, you write a little bit about the progressives neither believe in the founding principles of this nation nor respect it. They would argue, you know, as believers, we're, I was listening to something this morning, as believers, we were, you know, we're sensitive that we don't want to insult someone because that's what they've made us believe. But at the same time, they don't respect the establishment. How did we get here, Pastor?
Well, I mean, here's the idea, too. This idea that you're never supposed to offend anybody is not an American value at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The idea of the protection of freedom of speech is the protection of unpopular speech. If it's popular, it needs no protection. If everybody agrees with what you're saying, there's no need for protection of the speech. Why would you need a law protecting that? The idea is to protect unpopular political and religious speech. So the idea of the America is instead of us shooting each other over our disagreements, let's have free discourse, free thought, free speech. So in the marketplace of ideas, we can argue our viewpoints and bring about what our best arguments are, and then the society can look listen to those arguments. But when you shut down an argument from someone by just saying, listen, you're automatically a hater because of this, and you can take any issue. You take the issue of racism,
right,
where people like myself, see, I believe that black people in the inner cities, along with many others, whites and Hispanics, are really in slavery to the government, under the largesse of government, keeping them in this sort of state of dependence. And when I talk about that, what do people call me?
Yeah, you're a hater. You're
a hater, a racist, which is absurd, because anybody who knows me knows it's absurd.
Right.
But see, they want to shut me up. See, I want to liberate people from government tyranny. So I'm the hater?
Right.
No. The people who are making their living off of the poverty of people in the inner city, they are the haters.
Pastor, real intense conversation here. And we're going to step away for a minute, take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk in more detail. Our president called this a more perfect union now, and we're gonna get to a couple of those spots in a minute. But when we come back, Pastor's going to share a little bit more on, you know, how'd we get here? Obviously, we're going down that path. Why does he think the president is not for us? And also, a little more education on the 14th Amendment as well. This is Smell the Truth Radio. We shall be right back.
Dr. David Berman, your host of Smell the Truth Radio. I, along with my co-host, Rob the Coach Letito, are fighting against the lies of the leftists, the globalists, and the outright followers of Satan's tyranny. Please stand with me as I speak out for biblical values, liberty, and the Constitution against the onslaught of political correctness and intimidation as we have never seen in America before. I know that I will be hated by the progressives, but I refuse to be intimidated. Please spread the word about Smell the Truth Radio. Stand with me as I am a voice for you, the real Americans who believe in our founding Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This message brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com. Liberal Logic Moment. This Liberal Logic Moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
All right, Pastor Dave, Liberal Logic Moment today talks about man that is going to sue the Bible publisher on their demonstrous words against homosexuality that says homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's this about, Pastor?
So you're going to, you know, the insanity is to a level now where, you know, I don't know what else to do but laugh. I guess it's how I'm trying to cope with the insanity. I mean, he's suing Zondervan Publishers, according to the report, that he alleges that since the older King James Version contains the term homosexuals and was used by his family pastor when he was growing up, apparently. He became an outcast of his family. And so the 39-year-old is suing the Grand Rapids publisher for compensation of 20 years of emotional distress and mental instability. Now that, of course, you know, the mental instability part may be true, because you have to be out of your mind to sue the company for what the Bible says. If you don't like it, don't read it. But of course, we've come to this liberal logic moment where the liberal logic is this: free speech, as long as you agree with us. And anything that we don't agree with is not free speech. It's hate speech. And so now we were told, you know, Coach, we were told this. We were told, why are you against gay marriage? What does it affect you? All we want to do is be married. Leave you alone, you leave us alone. And those of us who have been warning about this for 30 years, we know what the agenda is. And the agenda has always been to force this on the American people and to come against the church. And so now we have people suing to actually outlaw the Word of God. And let me just tell you that if Christian people don't wake up, we're going to be in a serious situation here where we're going to be told what we can and cannot say from a legal standpoint. And that's probably happening very soon because of this Supreme Court absurd ruling making gay marriage a natural right. Absurd.
Crazy stuff. Another crazy liberal logic moment.
Indeed.
SmellTheTruth.com.
Not going to take it no more. Not going to take it no more. Taking our country back.
I am Rob Lotito. Our host, of course, is Dr. David Berman. Doctor, we're talking about the Supreme Court decision. We've been leading into this a little bit this week when we talk about the establishment of the state church. You believe that there is a underlying toll here or current that is being put forth before us. Our illustrious president this week said that we are a more perfect union. I'm going to hear a clip from here.
Say, in no uncertain terms, that we've made our union a little more perfect.
So he believes we made our union a little bit more perfect. And we were talking off air, obviously, about this 14th Amendment comparison that the Supreme Court has done. Would you enlighten us a little bit? We know how we feel about the decision as Christians. We're against the decision. But educate us and enlighten us on why the Supreme Court took this angle and why our president believes now we're, I don't know how he believes we're a more perfect union because of the debaucherous lifestyles that have been approved.
Well, the president will feel we're even a more perfect union if people are dancing around in fairy suits in front of the White House, you know, singing songs to Moloch.
Gosh.
I mean, this is how bad it's becoming. But from a legal standpoint, let's talk about this again. We've talked about this before, and it bears repeating. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is when you lift up a behavior, let me make this very clear, mm-hmm. not your race, but your behavior to the place of protected status, then where's the end of that? Where's the end?
I'm not sure.
There is no end.
It can just keep going then.
Of course it can, because you're saying equal protection means that that your behavior makes you a class of people. So now a person says, well, they're homosexual, so they're now a class of people, and that is now a behavior that has been codified in law as being something that is an equal protection. And so therefore, those of us who don't agree with that, who say we don't want to be around any kind of religious ceremonies that have to do with gay marriage. We don't want to be involved with that in any way. We're told that we have to be involved with that under the penalty of law. And now you've elevated their behavior, their position, their viewpoint to the place of protected status that I have to now, according to law, I won't do it, but according to law, I have to somehow participate. So if you're a caterer, if you're a baker, whatever, and eventually, eventually they're going to say, if you're somebody who's a preacher who signs marriage licenses, then you have to sign a marriage license for a homosexual couple as well. They're going to say that. I guarantee they're going to say that eventually.
That's coming. We know that's coming. In your article, you also write about you don't believe that the agenda is just about getting married. You think there's even more of an agenda here, and what is that agenda, do you believe, Pastor?
The agenda is to force you to accept a completely un-Christian, un-Judeo-Christian ethic and permeate that through the school systems, through all of culture and the government. And in fact, recently, a lawmaker from California has said that this woman, I wish I had her name in front of me, but she said that she wants to pass legislation that removes the words husband and wife from all government documentation altogether throughout the country. Remove the terms husband and wife.
And the governor, Jerry Brown's in agreement with this, by the way, folks.
He already removed husband and wife from, in California.
So we've neutralized people. Yeah. And this behavior that you're calling, you know, what it is, it's 20 years ago in our country, it was debaucherous.
Yeah.
And now this pendulum has swung, and we have this hedonistic lifestyle, progressive hedonism that you're calling it. Again, you know, we're trying to educate you out there so that when you have these conversations, folks, you can defend yourself.
Right.
And Pastor, that is your passion. Now, you're saying we're on a slippery slope here because... Yep. They're forcing us to do things we don't want to do, and we're seeing that out there.
Yep.
The president was for it. He was against it, and now he's for it.
He was totally against it by his words. I never believed him. I never for a minute believed he was against. He did that to get elected. And his chief of staff said as much when he was interviewed. He just basically said whatever he could say to get elected.
Well, he later wrote a book that said the president never believed. Yeah,
right, of course.
It's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Now, how did we get, because the federal government did not mandate marriage. And, you know, we had President Clinton, obviously, who got involved with this as a president.
What do you mean the federal government didn't mandate marriage?
Well, I'm saying that the federal government wasn't created by the federal government. Man and wife marriage.
No, it was created by God.
You know, and they say that's hate. And God's still talking, isn't he?
Or let me say it again. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah, and that coin a phrase from a couple of people have used that. Yeah, you're right. But where are we? Why is the government involved now? I think that's what I'm trying to say here. We have a sacrament of marriage that is precious and beautiful, created by God. Now the government, where this road crossed.
Well, what happened was, the idea of separation of church and state, which is not in anywhere found in the Constitution, by the way, just the term. But the reality is that marriage is a religious institution. It's a result of religious institutions. It is God ordained. Mm-hmm. And so the country, although we were not a state-run a church or church-run state, which none of us want, obviously had to deal with the fact that religion is part of people's lives, and you can't completely separate any meeting of religion and the state because these are part of people's lives. It's part of life. And so states recognized marriage, and from my understanding, the original licenses of marriage were to make sure that there was not of people getting married who were too close in genetics. And so they said, well, you know, you used to have to take a blood test and these kind of things to make sure that you could be married and it would be a healthy thing to do. And from my understanding is that's where really the whole licensing of marriage started.
Okay.
Licensing was never, you know, anything the state really did before that. Mm-hmm. But since the state did do that, pastors have been signing myself. I've done, you know, over all these many, many weddings, I signed a marriage license. And officially recognized by the government as a pastor who does weddings. But now, if you do that, now you're sort of participating, and they're going to change and say, apparently, eventually, as we just said, you're going to have to do it too. But marriage now has become a political, a vehicle to promote the homosexual lifestyle. Because they want to legitimize the lifestyle. In order to do that, they want to have a law that says it's legitimate. Because, after all, these people do worship the government, you see. Mm-hmm. And when the government says something is okay and accredited, then automatically it's okay. It's like the education system, which the federal government had nothing to do with higher education or anything like that for most of this country's history. But now they do. And when the government says, oh, it's accredited by them, all of a sudden that gives us some sort of accountability, which is absurd because ever since the education was taken over by the government, it's been going down the toilet.
And we can see this progressing quickly. The other night on TV, they gave an award to Caitlyn Jenner, who was Bruce Jenner. And you could see this progressing. Like, I need to respect his decision to be transsexual or a cross-dresser. I'm not sure what to call the person. And again, we're walking on easy ground because we don't want to say the wrong things. And they're celebrating it on TV. I don't get that, Pastor.
Well, I'm not walking on easy ground.
No, I know we're not, but people are, and we don't want them to.
Yeah.
They're celebrating this on TV. The debaucherous level that this is being brought to is that slippery slope that's being forced down our throats. We give a courageous award to somebody because they put a dress on.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous.
Well, I refuse to refer to Bruce Jenner as anything but Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner is a confused individual. I feel compassion for him. I'm saddened that he doesn't understand who he is and that Jesus can make a change in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've had happen here is we've had somebody who's well-known who has been in part of a reality, debaucherous reality show with a bunch of malcontents and crazy people who are promoting every kind of disgusting lifestyle you can possibly imagine, decide that he wants to be a woman, but he's never going to be a woman because he puts a wig on, goes and gets surgery on his face or whatever, puts a dress on. And we give a courageous award for that when we don't give these kind. We should be giving this award to firemen, to policemen, to soldiers, to civilians who have saved people's lives. It's insane. But they're pushing this, and this is ESPN.
Yeah,
this is in every facet of society, whether it's sports or in entertainment, whatever it is. They're pushing this craziness because culturally they're going to force you to receive this and accept this, and if you don't, again, you will be persecuted.
Well, we're going to wind up right here, Pastor. You know, our clock's telling us that our time is short for this show today, but we're going to keep the tape rolling, and we're going to do a part two to this presentation. Pastor, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about now how marriage as a pastor, how is it being received by you or received by others, and how we should react to that as a church and as a community. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Pastor, tell us a little bit. The article is on smellthetruth.com, and you got some books on there. You just wrote a book recently. Tell us a little bit how we get that.
My latest book is called Essays in Liberty, and it hits all the sort of hot-button topics and gives you an essay as to why the conservative worldview makes sense. It'll equip you to be able to argue for us in favor of what we believe in. And smellthetruth.com is a website where you will be able to get also sign up for my monthly articles, which will be sent to you by email. And there's going to be continuing expansion of information on smellthetruth.com.
All right. That is Pastor David Berman. I am the coach, Rob Lotito. Go to smellthetruth.com. You can follow us at Smell Truth. This show is called The Establishment of a State Church, Part 1. Stay tuned for Part 2. God bless you. And have a great day.
SmellTheTruth.com